I want to talk to you about a subject that I think is so important to God, and therefore it's important to us, and that's coming with an attitude of worship. And so when I was thinking about this title, and I kept thinking, now wait a minute, what do I mean by attitude? I actually had to look up the word attitude, and just to make clear that I had a good understanding of attitude. And of course, there's all kinds of definitions for attitude. You know people who has bad attitudes, right? Gordon, I guess you run into people with a lot of bad attitude. Michael, you too. Some of your other fellow police officers, I think you run into people who have these bad and sour attitudes. Maybe you just stop them to give them a warning, and they want to bless you out. And that's the thing. They have a bad, bad attitude. Maybe they're having a bad day. Well, we understand that. And I used to use the phrase when my children were growing up, when my son was small. He's like this now, at least sometimes he looks like that tall. But anyway, he's tall, grown man. But when he was this small, I told him, I said, don't give me no attitude. I said, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. And I meant it too at the time. So now when I talk to him and he's like this, I said, you know, I brought you into this world. And then I stop, because he's of a nature that he might can take me out now. So I'm not going to press my luck. So yeah, we know what attitude can be, especially when it's a bad attitude. But I looked up to some other definitions, and you know what? It said there's a feeling or emotion toward a fact or a state. In other words, if you know a particular fact or a particular state of mind or a state of being, and all of a sudden your attitude can be affected by that. We actually had, the fact is, that God, we say this in our prayer meetings, and I want people who come to our prayer meetings to call this out. Why do we seek the face of God? Because he is worthy to be sought. Exactly right. Because he is worthy to be sought. You don't come to this place to listen to me speak, to listen to Eddie speak. You don't come here, hopefully not just for the music. You come here to worship God. And in doing so, in worshiping God, yes, we play the music, we preach the sermon, but there's so much more to worshiping God than just those things. And so what I want to do is to illustrate for you the things that we can and should do when we come in with a mindset that we come in to worship God. If you have a talent, let me say it this way. If you have a talent to do something for God and you're not doing it, guess what? The Bible said, he that knoweth to do good does it not, to him it is sin. So think about that. It is sin. It's sinful behavior if you don't want to lift up the Lord and you have the ability to do such things. Now, I don't know whether that be preaching or teaching or singing or any other act that you can do. You want to lift up the name of the Lord, especially Jesus Christ. He is the one. He said, if I be lifted up before all men, he will draw them unto himself. So Jesus Christ is the one who deserves all praise, all glory. And he saved my soul. If he does nothing else for me, if he does nothing else, and the thing is, Jesus does everything else. If he does nothing else but save my soul, I'm so grateful. I have escaped I do believe in an eternal destination, either heaven or hell. And I do believe that there is a place to escape to. And heaven is where I want to be. And Rhonda, I don't know where there you are. Wally told me one time, and it's stuck in my mind. I never really thought about it this way, but he told me something. I consider Wally one of my mentor, one of my best friends. And he told me, he said, you know what? He said, when I got saved, he said, it wasn't because I thought heaven was so good. He said, I just didn't want to go to hell. I thought, he's right. He's right. Usually we think to the negative side, and we want to shun the evil, the negative, the hell. And so God has made a way through Jesus Christ, and it's free. It's just for the asking. And you don't even have to ask here, but this is a good place and a good time to do the asking. And you can go anywhere and just say, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Save me. Save me from an eternal destination from you. Bring me to heaven. I want to be with you, Lord. That's why we sang that song, What's That I Hear? Oh, I'm listening for that trumpet sound, folks. I'm looking for him to come any moment. There's nothing that has to be done that I know of that is hindering God. The only thing that is preventing him from coming right at this very moment is because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance and to everlasting life. And he's willing for everybody to repent. Is everybody going to repent? No. No. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite. The Bible teaches that broad is the way, and there's going to be many who's going to go in that direction. Broad is the way, and narrow is the way, and there will be few that find it. Think about that, folks. Few that find it. God help us. God help us. So whenever there's a particular fact or state of being, there's emotion tied to that. Someone here related to in our church has... I don't advocate playing the lottery, folks, and I would tell you not to waste your money on such things, but somebody won $100,000 in the lottery ticket. Now, let me ask you, would you take that ticket? Yeah, I wish it was more than that. I was kind of hoping for the big money. Of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't act that way. You'd probably be jumping for joy. Thinking of all what you're going to do with whatever the government don't take away. What are you going to do with those few dollars that they leave you with? But you're going to be jumping for joy. There's going to be an emotion tied to whatever you have been blessed with, have been given. And so God is saying, look, folks, I've blessed you with so much. I've given you my only son. You should be joyful. You should have an attitude of worship. Worship. What does that mean to us? Well, Jesus, or the Father, I should say, is actually looking for something. Let's read our first scripture there, Malin. It's John chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well in Samaria. And after a little bit of discussion, he finally ends with this. He says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, get that, not the fake, not the ones who pretend, not the ones who are just putting on a show, but the true worshipers shall worship the Father, how? In spirit, little s, that's not Holy Spirit, little s, in spirit and in truth. In other words, it's from our spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh, see, the Father's looking for such things. He seeketh such to worship him. Let's just leave the scripture until I call for the next one. So when we look at this and we look at this truth, this is a fact, this is in the Bible. We think about this and we think, well, how do we go about worshiping him? Well, there's all kinds of ways to worship God. I'm just going to go over a few. But there's all kinds of ways to worship God. And a lot of the ways depend upon your personality. Now, I didn't used to be. If you would have told me years ago that I'd be up here talking to however many people we have out here, I would say, no way, no how, that's not going to happen. I'm just too nervous. And I will admit, I do get nervous every time I get up here. I get nervous. And I have to pray, and the Lord calms me down. But I get nervous when I speak to a crowd. You probably do too. If you had to get up and... if I would have just picked anybody at random and say, hey, would you say a prayer, you know, of dismissal or some kind of prayer, you'd probably get up and you'd be like this. I know I would have. I would have been like that. But you know what? The Father is looking at that. He's looking at your heart, not so much your actions. He's looking at your heart. So all this stuff varies by personality. You might be an introvert. An introvert is a person who is sort of reserved, and I'm typically more reserved and more conservative in the fact that I don't express my emotions a lot. Sometimes I do, and now that I'm pastoring, I actually express my emotions even more. And you'll notice when I get to where I'm thankful and I'm praising God and I stop playing the guitar, well, guess what? 1/4 of the music has stopped. So it's hard for me to worship while playing an instrument. One of these days, I'm praying that God will replace me with someone who plays a guitar and who can do this so that I will be much more freer to pray. And then that person will then in turn at some point have somebody replace him. They'd be freer to worship God. But I'm sort of reserved. But I tell you what God likes. He likes singing all through the Bible. I could have picked out probably 100 scriptures, folks, but I didn't. Let's see our first one here. Psalms 147 and 1. He says this, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. And praise," this is why we try to encourage everyone to engage in praising the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. But the Bible says it's comely. And all it is, that's an old English word that means lovely. That praise is lovely. It's beautiful. When God sees you praising Him, He looks at you and He looks, oh, how sweet. How beautiful that looks to me. The people are singing to me. They're singing about me. They're lifting up Jesus' name. That's my son. They're lifting him up. Yes, that's what He wants. He wants us to come to Him with joy, with gladness, with singing. A song in your heart that looks to Him and says, Lord, you know, I believe everything you've done, and I want to just thank you. I want to worship you. So let's look at our next song involving scripture involving singing. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Folks, there it is. It doesn't mean that the Spirit has to come upon you. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. And what? Come before His presence with singing. Singing. God loves to hear singing about Him, about His attributes, how mighty, how powerful, how glorious He is, and He will bless you for it. Now, I know right away, somebody will tell you that the Holy Spirit has to be moving first before we get a really good song service and that kind of stuff. Show me in here. Where does it say that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has to first move before you worship? Show me. And then I'll rethink what I believe. Because I tell you, if I would have come up here and the choir's ready to sing and the musicians are ready to play, I'm sorry, folks. The Lord's just not moving right now. We're not going to have any singing. We're not going to have any praise. How silly would that be? How silly. We don't wait for the Spirit to move us to praise Him, to sing to Him. We do it with gladness. We do it with joy. We do it because He deserves to be sought. Folks, He deserves it. You don't, what I often think, folks, I really do. I often think that the Holy Spirit is not waiting to move. I think the Holy Spirit is waiting for us to move. Amen. Think about that. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yes. Yes. The Holy Spirit is wanting us to move. Now, singing obviously is a great way to worship. And no, I would not dismiss the choir because I didn't feel the Spirit was moving. In fact, Angie, I saw your hands raised up, trembling even, while we were singing. I heard Lucille. Lucille, one of the great things I love about you when you're playing music, you can tell when you really get into that song, boy, those keys are banging hard and that voice starts rising. And I mean, the crescendo is just coming up. I can't even talk over you. I'm trying my best. to yell hallelujah, but I can't talk over Lucille. No, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Don't worry. I like that. I like that. I like people to get into the music, to worship, you know, not to stand back and just, let's praise him. Praise him. Yeah, I'm saying the words, but do you feel it? Do you feel it in your heart? If you don't, you're just going through the motions. You're just going through the motions. If that's your attitude in your worship, to just simply say the words that's on the screen, folks, you're just going through the motions. And may God help you in that. But I want to show you something that's pretty controversial in a lot of churches. Look at this. Psalms 149, verse 3. Let them praise his name in the dance. Is that really in the Bible? Let them praise his name in the dance. My goodness, you can dance in church? Now, I know we got a lot of folks in here who are kind of new, who haven't grown up in the old style churches that we've come from. We always called it shouting. I can remember when I first started dating Deronda, and when Deronda started talking about, you know, the people getting up and they were shouting, I thought, dummy me, this shows you where I was with the Lord. I thought shouting means you got up and went, praise the Lord! I thought that was shouting. No. They're dancing in the spirit. They're dancing. Maybe they're not in the spirit, but they can still dance. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells us so. The Bible does not say you have to be in the spirit to praise him in the dance. In fact, he commands us to do this. Now, you might be, especially your younger crowd, if you go to a concert, what do you mostly see in a concert? All right, let's say I go, I don't know who goes to rock concerts, but let's say you go to a rock concert. I've seen many, many pictures. I mean, they're packed. Folks, they're packed. I love to see on Super Bowl Sunday, which is what, next Sunday? I'd still love to see churches packed. Churches packed. When was it? Today? Boy, am I off. You could tell I don't follow football. I don't even know who's playing in the Super Bowl. Well, that might explain some things then. Maybe not everybody is sick. Here I'm thinking everybody's sick. Okay, now things are becoming clearer. I wish I had better discernment. But the thing is, I would love to see churches packed regardless of when Super Bowl was on. Here I was thinking it was next week. But this is something that's in the Bible. It says, praise his name in the dance, and let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel, which is the tambourine. I heard Melissa playing it just a minute ago. Your name escaped me for just a second, but I got it. Melissa, she was playing the tambourine. That's the timbrel. And the harp, it could mean some kind of a stringed instrument. Could be something similar to a guitar. Whenever you hear the word harp, don't think about these really big, you know, long tight with the 1,000 strings on them that somebody plays. That's not necessarily a harp. A harp sometimes can be just a little bitty device that you just have a few notes you can pick out. They would sing these psalms and songs through playing these instruments. And I can tell you about when they crossed over the Red Sea, when it was the water had divided in two. And God had miraculously delivered Moses and his people and brought them out of there, out of the hands of Egypt. And then when they got onto the other side, and all of a sudden the waters collided back on the following army and just basically drowned the whole army. Folks, Moses' sister, Miriam, got out there and praised the Lord in a dance and with the timbrels. She got out there, and I'm sure a lot of them do. And so I want to caution you. I want you to be careful, especially you folks who've not grown up amongst us like that and understand what it means to dance for the Lord. But there is a kind of dance that is holy. Okay, you can dance. Now, I have no rhythm in my, for some reason, I got it in my hands. It all went to my hands and my head. I got no rhythm in my feet. And I'm sorry, Dorondo, I couldn't take you to, even when we went to the prom, all I could do was just kind of sway back and forth. Okay, that's about the most rhythm I got. And every once in a while, I like to play a song from back years ago. I'll come get her. By her surprise, we'll do a slow dance. And that's all I do, is just sway back and forth, you know, like this. That's all I can do. Some folks don't have any rhythm. That's okay. God's not looking for your rhythm. He's looking at your heart. Are you doing it sincerely? Are you up here praising the Lord in the dance sincerely? And so the caution I want to make to you is, you know, we see these people at the rock concerts. What are they doing? They're waving their hands. They're doing like this. And here we are in church. We got our hands down here mostly, you know. And I do see, I see Gloria, I see some others back there praising the Lord and just worshiping away. And oh, it's such a beautiful sight. Beautiful sight to see. But there's some dancing that's not appropriate. Okay, you know this. And God help us if anybody ever tries to come into an assembly like this and does what's called twerking. Okay? A lot of you people know what that is. It's one of those ugly sights that if you see it one time, you just cannot unsee it anymore. And I would have to put somebody out of the church if that ever happened, because it would not be allowed in this place. And for those of you who don't know what we're laughing about, you'll have to go home and figure it out and study it on your own. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because it's awful. It's ungodly. It does not belong in church. In fact, if you go, and I did, I looked at YouTube. I looked at YouTube, a lot of things you can find on YouTube, good and bad, a lot of bad. But I thought, well, no, wait a minute. How did the Jews, or how do the Jews, celebrate God in the dance? Did you know they give dancing lessons? I don't know if they do that in churches on a normal basis, but a lot of Jews give dancing lessons. And I looked at several, and I thought, I wonder if I could do any of those. And there was one that I think, because of my dropped foot nerve problem that I have in this leg, that I might can do. One is like this. That's it. That's a dance. Praising the Lord, lifting the hand. Now, sometimes they'll end it with a little jump and a kick. And then there's another one. I better be careful how I do this one. They grab each other and they do this, okay? And then they go back the other way. I'm not going to try it the other way because I may fall. God help anybody who might have to pick me up. But the thing is, here we go. You're praising him in the dance. They teach how to do this. So don't mock anybody who might be dancing. Don't ever mock somebody. God is, first of all, commanding this in his scripture. And second of all, there's so many examples of people expressing their emotions and praise to God by dancing before him. David did to the point to where his wife looked at him and thought, oh my goodness, what kind of disgrace is David being? Go look it up. Go look it up. David, back then, they actually wore, you might think this is funny, but they actually wore a thing that looked kind of like a skirt. You've seen Irishmen, you know, they wear the kilt and whatnot. Well, David and them wore something similar to that. Well, David was just a jumping and lifting those legs around, and guess what? He didn't have any undies on. And so what was happening? He was, in all his joy, he was showing off himself in ways that I probably would have had to put him out of the church if he did it here. But his wife saw it and thought, how shameful. Shameful for the king. But David was just overjoyed that the ark was coming back into where it needed to be. So please don't ever look around those and mock them. When I actually saw on YouTube one of the actual dances, and I think it was on the video at the wedding in Cana, there's a new video series, folks, out that if you haven't seen it, I recommend you look at it. It's called The Chosen. How many here have seen any of the videos of The Chosen? Oh, folks, look it up and download and watch some of those. It's a whole series about Jesus and him picking his apostles. And in one of the scenes, it showed them where they were dancing at a wedding. See, God loves celebration. He loves celebration. He often set aside days specifically to celebrate him, to glorify him. And basically, we would look at it. It'd be like the old time when the kids used to hold hands and put their arm around each other, and they'd do this thing called ring around the rosy. Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about? You know, that's what these Jews would do. And sometimes they would have somebody in the middle who would dance, and that's why I like that one episode in Chosen. They had Andrew, Peter said, that's Andrew's brother, Peter. Peter said Andrew had two left feet. He couldn't dance at all. And in the episode, Jesus said, well, I'm not even sure I can help him. I thought, could Jesus joke around? Maybe he did. I don't know. Could Jesus joke around? I thought it was pretty interesting. Well, let's move on. So you can praise him in the dance. Here's another way. Psalms 134, verse 2. Look at this. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Folks, we have such difficulty, it seems, to lift our hands and to praise the God of heaven. Think about who you're praising. This is not just somebody who's out there. This is not just anybody. I mean, my goodness, they do this at a rock concert. How much more should we give God praise in his own house? Practice with me. Can you lift your hands? Can you lift your hands and praise God? I mean, think about it, folks. It's not hard. Now, I know sometimes our joints are hurting and it's hard for us to do it. Maybe we can go this far. Maybe we can do one hand. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. Lifting up your hands and giving thanks in his sanctuary. No, you don't have to do this because the Spirit moves on you. The Spirit may move on you after you start glorifying God. And the thing is, let's lift our hands. So what have we discussed so far? The singing, the dancing, and the lifting of hands. We're going to close here in just a moment. And then finally, I guess I am at the close. You want to praise him with your words. Let's look at two scriptures, and then we'll close here in just a moment. Hebrews 13 and 15. It says, and we think it's Paul who wrote Hebrews, maybe. Some people dispute that. It could have been someone else. But the writer of Hebrews says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Wow, I never really considered praise a sacrifice. But sometimes watching church people, I wonder if it is a sacrifice. It's hard for them to do it. It's like, oh gosh, I gotta praise. It's like tugging it out of them. You gotta pull it out of them. And God's not after that. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to whom? To God continually. That is the fruit of our lips doing what? Giving thanks to his name. Not what he has given us. Yes, thank him for what he has given you. But thank him for who he is. Again, he's the creator. He is the Almighty God. He is the one who sent his only son. Folks, I don't know if I could give up any of my children for you or anyone else. I don't think I could. But God did. While we were yet sinners, he said, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. And all, what's he asking for in return? Worship. Worship. When I see, not just my grandkids, but when I see a bunch of kids get together and they start playing like we did when we had homecoming, they had these bouncy houses and a bunch of other stuff, and they just giggling and having fun, celebrating. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Amen. It's a beautiful sight. What do you think God looks at when he sees us? Especially if he just sees us, I ain't moving a muscle. Not unless I feel something, I'm not moving a muscle. I just showed you scripture that says you don't wait for that. We are commanded to sing, to dance, to lift our hands, and to use our voice, the fruit of our lips, he says. Doing what? Giving thanks. To what else? His name. That means who he is. We give thanks. And this is my last verse, I promise. I want to see Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. He says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. That's what I'm doing to you guys right now. I'm declaring the name of Jesus unto my brethren. What? In the midst of the church. The church also means assembly. It doesn't necessarily mean this building. You can be out here in a gathering. I can remember back on 9/11 when we gathered around a flagpole. And we had prayer, we had singing, we had impromptu exhortation. Praising his name, glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus. In spite of our suffering on that day in 9/11, we were in the midst of an assembly and it said, I will sing praise unto thee. God looks at you. He looks at your heart. And he says, that's beautiful. My children are singing praises to me. They're lifting their hands to me. They're calling out to me. They're talking about me. Oh, how it must look to God when we do that. Don't you brag about your children? Sometimes we know people, and I don't know anybody in here in particular, but sometimes we know people that as soon as you run into them, what's the first thing they're going to talk about? Guess what my little baby just did today? Turned over for the first time, and you're like, oh yeah, I seen that years ago. I know what that's like. But to them, it's exciting. It's exciting. They talk about it. They're eager to talk about it, and that's fine. That's good. That's good. You should be proud of your development of your children. God is the same way with you. As you develop, as you come to know him more and get closer to him, all of this stuff should become second nature. It shouldn't be a have to. Do you understand what I'm saying? It shouldn't be a have to. I shouldn't have to be told to raise my hand in church. I shouldn't have to be told to sing to God. I shouldn't have to be told to give him some kind of dance of worship. You know, I shouldn't have to be told to spread the word about who my God is and how great he is and how lovely he thinks it looks. I shouldn't have to be told any of this. So I'm going to ask you a question. Several, maybe. What is your attitude of worship? What is your attitude of worship? Does it come freely? Does it come naturally? Or does it have to be pried out? Is your type of worship the kind that's, again, I'm not moving a muscle? Nope, somebody's got to do something to cause me to move a muscle. Folks, I just gave you the scriptures. Do with it as you will. So the last question I want to ask you, do you have a desire? Do you have a willingness to express emotions of joy? The emotions of joy. Did God save your soul? That's plenty to be joyous for. That's plenty to be joyous for. Did God help you get here today safely? Yes. We should praise him for that reason alone. Now you might say, Earl, you don't know the troubles I'm facing. You don't know the struggles that I'm facing right now. I bet you in many ways I do. Because I've gone through many of the troubles and trials that people have already gone through or are going through now. But this is a good place to take a moment and to worship the Lord and to give him all your troubles, all your cares. Why? Peter tells us, said, because he cares for you. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. So do you have a willingness to express some kind of emotion? Folks, I know this might sound strange, but I've been saved in quite a number of years now. Every once in a while, I'll still make mistakes, and God accepts me back, and I'm so grateful. And so when I've visited other churches and they've given an altar call, one of the first thoughts that used to run through my mind is, if I go up to the altar, people are going to think, oh, there's something wrong with him. There's some sinful behavior in his life. No. I just wanted to be a better Christian. Some days I went to the altar just to pray, Lord, make me a better Christian. Make me better at having compassion. Help me to love one another as you have loved us. Do you realize that's how we determine, as a church body, that's how we can see whether you're a disciple of Christ? Did you know that? Why? I wish I'd put that scripture up there. Because you have love one to another. If you don't have that love, guess what? I don't think you're a very good disciple of Christ. So, Lord, teach me. And so this altar, I'm going to give the altar call in just a moment. I would urge you to express your emotion and joy, serving Christ, telling him how good he is. Yes, you may want to come up here and repent of sin. Tell us that. If that's what you're doing, we'll pray for you. We'll definitely pray for you. If you're coming up here just to praise the Lord and to ask him, Lord, make me better than I was yesterday. Make me better. Or, Lord, I've got a problem on my heart and I don't know what to do. Come and talk to him about it. Can you do it in your seat? Yes. But I sometimes am afraid that when you do it in your seat, that people aren't really communicating with God. Sometimes it takes a corporate, that means a group effort. If you come up here and pray as a group, so my question to you, do you have the desire to, do you have the willingness to come up here and pray as a group? I'll leave it up to you and God. Heavenly Father, as the musicians come. Heavenly Father, as we close out this service, oh God, touch our hearts, touch our minds and our bodies, to express worship unto the God of heaven. For that's what they're doing now. They're crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord thy God. He deserves all honor and glory. And so, Lord, we know that the grace that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, if there's any sinner here present and who wants to repent of their sins and live a Christian life to follow Christ, no, they're not going to be perfect starting out. That's just the starting point. That's just the starting point. And so, Lord, we pray that you would draw them to you, bring them to the altar. We will pray for them. We will anoint them. And the Spirit of God will come into their hearts as you have promised. It's a free gift. Lord, if there's anybody here who wants to just simply be better at being a Christian, at following Christ, showing love and compassion. Lord, if there's anybody who has a problem, who wants to discuss it with you, Lord, we will touch them, we will anoint them and bless them, Lord, and ask God to help them in their struggles. Father, I struggle. You see my struggles all the time. And I talk to you about them. But Lord, I pray that as we sing this next song, Lord, that you would fill up this altar. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's see.